Welcome to the Devin Nunes Podcast, breaking through the political noise, separating fact from fiction. From the San Joaquin Valley, the breadbasket of the solar system, here is your host, Devin Nunes.
Welcome back to the Devin Nunes Podcast. This week we have back on Dan Kish from the Institute for Energy Research. Dan, you're a favorite. I think some of your episodes are some of the most listened to episodes. I wanted to bring you on again this week because we've had more developments in the Green New Deal, global warming, climate change, because you follow all these issues extremely closely. Recently in Congress, the Democrat-controlled Congress has moved to block ANWR that the Republicans had just opened in the Congress before. They look to shut down drilling on both the East and West Coast. These are policies, bills that are being passed by the United States Congress. Clearly, I voted against them. All the Republicans voted against them. Now, as long as the Republicans control the Senate and you have a Republican president, these bills won't get signed into law. And that brings you, as our aficionado of everything energy on the podcast here, Dan. Recently, CNN had all the Democratic presidential candidates on, and they had an eight-hour bonanza, like some kind of global warming town hall that I think CNN must have sunk even lower in the ratings, but not too many people watched it. I know you were watching because this is what you do, and you were studying what these people are saying. And the reason why this is important is because you have Congress, the House of Representatives at least, passing this legislation. You have presidential candidates on the Democratic side that are running for office that are willing to obviously sign this legislation, but even more than that, they said even more ridiculous things. So with that said, what stood out the most when you were watching the global warming town hall on CNN?
Fantasy land, ultimately, is what this is all about. I mean, over 80% of our energy comes from organic fuels, which some people call fossil fuels. They're naturally occurring fuels, biomass of various kinds. We're blessed to have large supplies of these, and the U.S. has made a huge stride forward, so we're finally becoming less dependent on others for our energy. And these folks want to shut it down. It seems like in every place where we could make jobs, where we could increase our national security by increasing our energy supplies, they're looking for opportunities to shut it down. And so during the presidential telethon, they were doing, let's ban the internal combustion engine. Sounds good, but how do you do it? Let's ban natural gas. We've seen that in some cities in California already.
Yeah, I know. I thought that was a joke, but it actually was true.
Yeah, no.
The cities in California are moving to ban natural gas, which, of course, I like to barbecue outside.
Right.
Like many Californians. So when I am home and with my kids and family, I always like to have people over for barbecue, which runs on natural gas. Or you can do wood, or you can do wood chips, or you can do charcoal. Regardless, all that's going to be banned. But the idea that you would get rid of natural gas is completely nuts. So you had Kamala Harris talked about banning plastic straws, but at the same time, she was laughing about it. So what do you think that means? Did she really? Because it is laughable. No, this whole paper straw thing is a joke. I mean, the plastic straws do not make up, it's a small percentage of the actual pollution. And you're only banning plastic straws in certain places. So if you really want to take care of the plastic problem, number one, you start with all the other countries other than the United States, because we continue to do a better and better job. But number two, here in the United States, you'd have to ban everything plastic. Why did they only pick straws? I'm trying to understand that. And why was Kamala Harris, senator from California, busting out laughing when she was talking about banning plastic straws?
Because I think she understands that these are dog whistles to show that you care, when in reality, she knows what the facts are, which are that if you take the United States, Europe, and Japan together, we contribute less than 5% of the plastic to the world's oceans. Most of it comes from China, Africa, Asia, where they're developing and where they use their rivers, as we once did in the United States, to dump things in. As you get richer, you clean that up. That stops, and now they're working on ways actually to if we could ever use this as a fuel, because it's it's all petroleum-based, that would be wonderful because then we could harvest the sea and ultimately use these products. And that would make sense because then they wouldn't be worth throwing out. They'd be worth saving and recycling and using for another good use.
And look, no one wants to see plastic floating around in the ocean, the rivers, right, the streams. But I think we have to talk reality here with this all new. Everybody wants to be green in this country. It's promoted in the universities, the schools. But the fact remains that air in this country has never been cleaner. The water's never been cleaner. So at some point, you're beginning to get absurd and ridiculous. And, you know, people switching to plastic straws, but they don't stop there. So Elizabeth Warren says she wants to get rid of light bulbs and hamburgers. Now, I think the hamburger part, I understand we can get to that, but I don't understand it, don't agree with it, but I think I know what that means. What is she talking about, though, with the light bulbs?
Well, you know, there's a joke that is working its way around that says, you know, what did Venezuelans have before they had candles? And the answer is electricity. This is what happens in socialist countries. They shut things down. These sorts of policies are nuts. Centrally controlled policies.
But if we can't burn wood chips or charcoal or natural gas, we can't burn candles either, right?
Well, let's be clear about what we're talking about. What they're talking about is banning fire, in essence. But, you can't burn anything.
But back to, but in all seriousness, I know we're joking here, but what is she talking about?
I don't
banning
know.
Light bulbs?
I honestly don't know.
Like incandescent light bulbs?
I assume she's talking about incandescent light bulbs. Maybe it's just light bulbs she doesn't like.
Well, maybe she'll come on the show and we'll ask her.
Yeah, sometimes.
Because I don't understand. I don't know what she's talking about. So Kamala Harris wants to ban meat. Elizabeth Warren wants to ban meat. So tell our audience, why do they want to ban meat?
Well, they want to ban meat because theoretically they want to push us towards another diet that is more green, whether that's fruits, nuts, grains of various kinds. I don't know. But some people have even suggested, and we've heard it, and it's not a joke. Some people at the UN have suggested that we ought to go on a diet of insects because they're high in protein. And while, you know, certainly I don't look down my nose at anyone who chooses that as their diet, I'd just as soon not have it on my cornflakes.
Now, in the San Joaquin Valley, where I'm from, Dan, you know, you've been there. We have a lot of fruits and nuts, real ones that you eat. So you're not against people eating fruits and nuts.
Absolutely not.
But the whole point is that when you get back to the Green New Deal, even though they deny it now, but they really want to get rid of, and the reason why they're saying they want to ban meat is because they claim that cows, beef cattle, sheep, goats, I don't know, whatever else, pigs, they produce
methane gas
that's contributing to the warming of the planet. Right?
Yes.
I mean, that's why they're saying this.
Yes. I mean, at the end of it, they say that if we didn't have these animals, which I think would be sad for our children because I think they like looking at cows and pigs and other livestock. I think they enjoy going to farm shows and that sort of thing. It's all part of American life. And to simply mandate them away is would be taking something away from Americans. It's part of our heritage.
Okay, so we've covered meat. So this was a quote from Beto O'Rourke, who used to be a congressman, served with me. He says that global warming will make El Paso impassable. So quote, no, if we win, the way this works, we would live in Washington, D.C., but Beto's son knew, because I had told him about the warming that we face, that our community will be uninhabitable. It would not sustain life along this trajectory unless something dramatic and fundamentally changes. What's going on in El Paso? What does Beto know that we don't know about El Paso?
I think he's just extrapolating the idea that this is catastrophic and you need to give us the powers that we need to change your life, to take your car away, to take your pickup truck away, to take your SUV away, to take your meat away, to take your natural gas away, to
AR-15s
take your biking range, your AR-15s,
and
all
AK, of these AK-47s things. He's going to take away too.
Yeah, I mean,
I wasn't aware, though, that AK-47s were legal in this country to own.
Right. Well,
Yeah. If there are AK-47s, I assume only the terrorists have them.
Well,
it's probably be a bad deal. Anyway, okay, so he so you don't know any. You're not helping us here, so you don't know anything about El Paso.
I don't know.
Okay, so let's go on to.
Except it sounds like child abuse to his son to scare him.
Well, they're poisoning lots of mines all over the country.
They are indeed.
Okay, so Mayor Buttigieg, however you say his name,
Buttigieg.
Says that solving climate change is harder than winning World War II. Perhaps more challenging, he says. What's he talking about?
Well, I would probably agree with him on that. Climate change is something that's been happening naturally for millennia, for millions of years. The reason we have oil on the North Slope of Alaska where nothing grows isn't because it just showed up there. It's because there was plant life and ocean life and other things. The reason we have the Grand Canyon is because of changes. The Great Lakes used to be great glaciers.
Melted and all the water came down and created the rivers.
And the Mississippi River and all the rest of it. So life goes on. The question is how much man is affecting it. Politicians seeking power are seeking that power by trying to scare people in many cases about what might happen in the future. And there are plenty of folks who are willing to buy into that and turn over the choices they have. I for one, my wife would still like a Viking range, and I don't think she'd like an electric one.
With gas.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I don't even think they make a Viking electric range.
Next question. Bernie Sanders says he supports birth control in poor countries to fight climate change. What's that about?
Well, at the heart of the climate change belief is that if the rest of the world ever gets as wealthy as the United States or European or Japan countries, then the impact on the earth will be terrible. Therefore, we will practice eugenics, in essence, by changing the populations in those.
So try to reduce the populations.
Reduce the population in Africa. Reduce the population in other parts of the world that are poor.
Chinese have been doing this for a while.
Chinese did this quite effectively, although now they've backed up because they actually want more population. Yeah. So.
Well, they have the challenge of the people started aborting female babies.
Yes.
And that's why there's this larger number now, this big, larger, a lot more men than there are women in China.
Yes, which raises serious social and.
Okay, so last question, I think. All right. So Yang, you mentioned a little bit this earlier. I don't know who Yang is, but he's running for president. He wants to buy back non-electric vehicles from people. How are we going to do that?
Well, I'd let him come up with an answer to that. But theoretically, we've got 250 million vehicles out there that are non-electric on the roads of the United States. I'm not sure what the average cost of an electric car is in the United States. I'm guessing somewhere around $50,000 if you take the lower price ones and the subsidies. And
but what do you make of the studies on the electric cars? I understand the electric cars don't put out any emissions, but somewhere, somehow, that power is coming from somewhere.
Right.
Right? So if that's coming from a coal-fired plant somewhere, being transferred to California where somebody's plugging it in, is that cleaner or dirtier to run that electric car than a gas car?
No. As a matter of fact, the studies show that that the ultimate impact because of electrical loss and all the rest of it is more than if they were just using a clean gasoline engine.
Right. So a clean gasoline car running in California is a lot cleaner, burns cleaner, the new ones that get 30, 40 miles a gallon than it is for me to generate power using other sources and ship it into California.
Absolutely. They basically put out water vapor and carbon dioxide. That's about it. Trace elements of anything else. So, you know, California still is confronted with its geographical issues with regard to that. But ultimately, at the end of the day, if you're going to go to all electric cars, you're going to, I mean, the cost for that is enormous. I recently heard Victor David Hansen talk about this, who's from your neck of the woods, and very eloquently described the fact that the average family in his parts buys a used car for about $5,000. The idea of buying a Tesla for $100,000 or $50,000 or something is just outside
their
reach.
Well, then you have the problem with a Tesla, then they're... And I like them. I mean, they're nice-looking cars. Yeah. I've ridden in one. Great they're cars. Really cool. The technology is really neat. But they're very expensive for a middle or lower middle-class family to have. Plus, at some point, those batteries don't last forever.
Right? Yes.
I mean, so that's a challenge in terms of environment being environmentally friendly because they're not easy to reprocess, those batteries. So
yes.
Anyway, so I'm taking you're not driving a Tesla anytime soon, Dan.
No.
All right, Dan. Well, you didn't answer a lot of these questions this week. So,
I'm sorry. Some of them are unanswerable because, frankly, when they just make stuff up, when they just make up things, when they just tell you what you think you want to hear mm-hmm. without telling you the whole story, they're lying.
There's not evidence or science behind it.
Right.
Well, then, Dan, that's what you do at the Institute for Energy Research. I appreciate you coming back on, and I am sure that you will be back on in a few months because someone else will be talking about global warming, climate change, Teslas banning natural gas, God knows what. But until next week, we'll catch you next Friday.
Thanks for listening to the Devin Nunes Podcast. We invite you to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And remember, you can download this podcast on iTunes or at devinnunes.com.
Storm clouds been gathering so long, I don't know.
It's no easy road.
We started wondering if every road dead ends our dreams.
It whips the dust up and rains pouring down.
Good people struggling in every hometown.
We started wondering if we even matter at all.
We'll take that hard road to happier days, 'cause we kept our American faith.
Now it's not our first trial by fire like this.
It's nothing hard work and family can't fix.
We've got the power to save it all here in our hands.
We'll take that hard road to happier days, 'cause we kept our American faith.
As we, the people, free and strong,
fight through the dark night toward the dawn.
We're already half the way there.
We'll take that hard road to happier days,
'cause we kept our American faith.
Paid for by Devin Nunes Campaign Committee.